11th episode. The Rose Garden. The 90-year-old Father Lucius stood in the shade of the old beech tree in the monastery garden and watched the arrival of the nocturnal visitors as they quickly disappeared into the monastery under the cover of darkness. He had watched this goings-on many times and always asked himself what could be going on behind the old monastery walls. Since Father Lucius had to hand over his post to Father Zeno, he no longer had any important tasks to carry out. He felt ignored and unnecessary. This deadly boredom would kill him sooner or later. He would have preferred to give up gardening, which he hated so much. And now it was also part of his duties to look after the rose garden in front of the nunnery. In the past he had never missed an opportunity to spend time at the nunnery, but today he simply hated it. If an opportunity had arisen, he would have gladly avoided this work. Father Lucius didn't like staying in the rose garden. A feeling of unease, a bad conscience and sadness always crept up in him. When he thought about what dark secrets lay beneath the roses, a cold shiver ran down his spine. He wouldn't have thought that after so long the events of the past would still be so present. At night he would often wake up from confusing dreams, bathed in sweat, and then going back to sleep was no longer an option. Once the thoughts began to spin like a merry-go-round in his head, the brooding could no longer be stopped. Bringing order into his confused thoughts was almost impossible. In order to calm down, he tried a few things, reading, writing or taking walks in the monastery garden. But nothing helped to find peace and sleep. But if all else failed, he still had an ace up his sleeve, namely the Bulweiler Riesling wine made in the monastery. Father Lucius had never been averse to alcohol, but now it had reached a level that had long since exceeded the therapeutic dose. Unfortunately, drinking was the only way to escape everything for a little while. The thoughts of the past events that had taken place in the monks' and nuns' monasteries kept coming back to him. Whether he wanted it or not, it still upset him. He basically never regretted his decision to become a father and serve only the Lord. He only showed some difficulty in abstaining from his physical needs. At that time, Father Lucius could not and did not want to do without female company and beautiful, soft bodies. Even today the fire of desire rose within him. Just the thought of kissing women, caressing them, seducing them and then giving into ecstasy made his temples throb. In addition to Brunhild, Cinna and Angela as well as Stein, Anna, Trudhilda, Walperga and Lillian, there was another woman who was not averse to a little hour with him, but this was not without consequences. The monastery woman Emma became pregnant. That was an absolute disaster. To make matters worse, she was naive and didn't notice the pregnancy until very late. When she finally realized that a little helpless human being was growing inside her body, Father Lucius helped Emma hide the pregnancy as best as possible. They just hadn't counted on the abbess, nothing could be kept secret from her. The abbess was present at the birth of the little girl, supported Emma so that she endured the pain and took touching care of her. She spoke to her calmly and encouraged the expectant mother. Father Lucius had never attended a birth before, it was both fascinating and repulsive. He sat in an adjacent room and heard Emma's moans during contractions and her cries during birth through the solid stone walls. Then everything got out of hand, he still couldn't believe it, this little innocent creature came into the world only to immediately leave it again. The abbess cut the umbilical cord and called Father Lucius. His heart jumped. Like a little boy, he went down into the garden next to the tight-lipped abbess. The little one needs fresh air, she said quietly. Then it happened. Near the weeping willow, she pressed the baby's face tightly to her chest until it stopped breathing. To make sure the newborn was really dead, she jerked its head backwards. The abbess's kindness was gone in one fell swoop. Before Lucius stood evil made flesh. This was the moment when Father Lucius' knowledge of the gold treasure in Sabir's future house became totally unimportant to him. Completely unmoved, with the lifeless little body in her arms, the abbess fixed Father Lucius with her ice-cold blue eyes, "Get this brat out of my sight, bury him here in the rose garden." Father Lucius mechanically followed the abbess' instructions. As if in a trance, he grabbed a hoe and dug a small pit under the 40-year-old's piercing gaze. All the while the abbess held Sister Emma and Father Lucius's little daughter close to her and murmured blessings. Like concentric waves in a lake into which a pebble has been thrown, Father Lucius's hatred of the abbess grew. The deeper the hoe went into the ground, the more painfully he realized that he had just lost his daughter. How would he be able to tell her mother? he wouldn't have been able to say whether he loved Sister Emma or not. He simply found her attractive, just as he found all women attractive. But she had something ahead of the others. She had carried his womb around her for 9 months, and for 9 months she had been looking forward to Onina, as he and Sister Emma had called the little one. This in the knowledge that it would be impossible to form a family together. They had met in the rose garden, Sister Emma and Father Lucius, behind a huge wild rose bush they had conceived Onina, and in the same garden his little daughter had just been taken away from him again. Father Lucius's heart was pounding as he pounded the wet earth with increasing anger. He could hardly stand the abbess's low, murmuring voice any longer, and he had suspected that there would be no way around taking revenge on her. To take cruel revenge. Father Lucius loved women more than anything, anyone he saw. He hadn't harbored any resentment towards the abbess either, although her cold eyes had always irritated him. He had often met her in the so-called nun's gate where she bought spices, linseed for belly wraps and potatoes. The pit will soon be deep enough, he heard the abbess's voice, as if from far away. It's not quite enough for both of them, Father Lucius heard himself saying. He raised his hoe and smashed the nun's skull with two blows. She collapsed with a gurgling sound and spilled her warm, steaming blood over the dead infant. Father Lucius had held back his tears, snatched the child from the slumped corpse, and carefully placed him in his small grave. Sleep well, Onina, he had murmured. Sleep well. I would have liked to have been a good dad to you. A few meters further over, under the weeping willow, he had dug another pit, this time much larger. He had looked around in a panic, but the abbess had chosen the most remote corner of the rose garden for her murder. This angle was hidden from the windows of the nun's monastery and also those of the more distant monk's monastery. After more than 3/4 of an hour of hard work, the pit was big enough. He had had to proceed very carefully, because there were corridors directly beneath the rose garden, and at the point where he wanted to bury the abbess there was an underground equipment room whose ceiling he was not allowed to break through with his pickaxe. He had grabbed the corpse's now cold right hand and dragged it across the garden. Her completely shattered skull had made him sick, which he had struggled to swallow. The priest had covered up the trail of blood that ran across the garden between the little daughter's grave and that of the abbess by digging up the earth there too. Thank God that the nunnery did not keep any dogs that could have satisfied their curiosity in the rose garden. After Father Lucius moved a few rose bushes, all suspicious traces disappeared. So now he stood in the shade of the old beech tree and the miserable memories came flooding back. The abbess's disappearance had never been solved until that day. Sister Emma had been inconsolable, and Father Lucius had repeatedly protested that the abbess had kidnapped the little girl and ridden away on a white horse. But he could never shake the impression that Sister Emma didn't believe this story. After the incident, Father Lucius returned to his monastery and collapsed, sobbing quietly, under the beech tree he was now standing under. He never saw Sister Emma again. She avoided him wherever she could, and when she once saw him while shopping in the nun's gate, she hid behind a blue-red felt curtain until he disappeared again.